Now let's begin the seventh perek, perek merubah. Background. If a ganav steals something, he must pay back the value of the stolen object doubly. In other words, it's a special knas that says if he stole something which was worth $100, he has to pay kefil, he has to pay $200. If he also shechts it, or sells it, he must pay back four or five times the original value. If he stole and shechted a sheep, he has to pay four times, and if he stole and shechted an axe, he has to pay five times. This is called dalad vehe. Also, a shemer chinam is normally putter if the object he watches is stolen. Meaning to say, if a person watches something for free, and the item gets stolen, he's putter, because he's a shemer chinam. To be putter, however, he must swear that it was stolen. If the shemer swears, and later we found out that he was lying, he must also pay kefil. This special knas is known as tayin tainas ganef. The Mishnah. This category of kefil applies more times than the category of dalad vehe. In other words, the possible knas of kefil applies in more situations than the knas of dalad vehe, since kefil applies both on animals or objects, but dalad vehe only applies to a stolen ox or a sheep, as we see from the pasuk in Shmos Perek Kaf Aleph. However, if one ganav steals an object which has already been stolen from someone else, there is no kefil or dalad vehe. Gemara. The chiyuv of kefil we learn from Parshas Mishpatim, the klal of al kol devar pesha, then a prat of al shor, al chamor, al seh, v'al salma, and then the klal of al kol aveda. So you have a klal uprat uklal. So you can only learn items that are kein haprat, i.e. they must be davar hametaltel, v'gufay mamon. This comes to exclude karka, avadim, shtarais, and hektish, which are not chayev v'kefil. Daf samach gimel. From Salma in the pasuk, al shor, al chamor, al seh, v'al salma, we learn that only if something has a simen and is stolen is there a chiyuv of kefil. And from Al-Kol Aveda, we learn the halacha of Tayin Tainis Ganav, that the Shemer Chinam makes a shvua and he lied, then he's also chayev in the din of kefil. If a person is Tayin Tainis Ganav, but instead of Edim establishing the fact that he lied, he admitted himself that he lied, but he pays Karen, plus one-fifth of a knas versus paying kefil, plus he brings a karban asham. This is because he was Maida b'knas by himself. Also, kefil is only if he was Tayin Ganav, but if he claimed that it was lost, and we found out that he lied, then he's putter from kefil. And finally, we learned that the chi of kefil for Tayin Tainis Ganav is only if he swore falsely, as we see from the pasuk in Mishpatim, the Nikra Balabayis El Ha'elakim. Daf Samach Dal. When we have just a prat uklal, we say that the klal is maisif on the prat. If you have two klalim next to each other with a prat following them, you only can insert the prat back in between the two klalim. And here we can come to include even things that aren't balei chayim. Rabbi Yishmael learned from the two words mayim and mayim, which is brought down regarding fish, speaking about snapir v'kaskesas, the fins and scales, that this is not considered a klal uprat, but rather a ribuy umiyut, which is marba everything. Daf samachay. Rav says when someone steals, the keren, the principal, is paid against the value of what the stolen item was worth at the shas geneva. For the kefil or dalad vehe, he pays the value of the animal b'shas hamada bedin, what it was worth at the time of the judgment. Rav Sheshe said Rav must have been sleeping when he said this halacha, since we have a different brisa. If we found that the ganav took a fat animal and weakened it, he pays ke'en shaganav, i.e. the higher value, not k'shas hamada bedin. Our answer is this is different. Since the ganav himself made it worth less, we tell him mali katla kula, mali katla palga. And as Rashi explains, if he would have killed it, we would have valued it back then at the higher value. So now that he just weakened it, it's like the beginning of the killing. It's like the katla palga. It's like he's starting to kill it. So he also pays the higher value. The Rishonim learn different pshatim in this. The Gemara says if someone stole a barrel of wine worth one zuz, and later it was worth more, and then he was tavra, he broke it, or shasya, or he drank it, he must pay it at the higher value it was worth at the shas tavra v'shasya, since the tavra v'shasya is like a new geneva. So here too, by the case of Rav, we should say that not only the dalad vehe should be paid v'shas hamada bedin, but even the karen should be paid in that way, since this tavra, the tzficha u'mechira, is equal to the tavra v'shasya. Our answer is Rav only set his din if it went down in value, but not if it went up in value. If one was watching a chayfetz and claimed it was stolen and swore to the fact that it was stolen, then if he confesses, he's pater on kefil, because maida b'knas is pater. But he must pay a chaimish and bring an asha. But if he confessed after the edim came and said that he lied, he must pay kefil and he must bring an asha and pay double of a chaimish. This is the shita of Rabbi Yaakov. The chachamim say, you don't pay kefil and chaimish, since once you pay kefil, you're pater b'chaimish. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, you're pater not only for the chaimish, but you're pater from the asham as well. From the pasuk bereishai uvachamishisai, we learn that you only pay a chaimish by a keren, not by kefil. But by both, you'll be chayev for a karban asham. Of course, if someone stole a calf and it grew into an ox, it's as if we have a shinoi, so it suddenly belongs to him. So regarding chiyav dalav dahei, if he does tficha umechira, it's like he's slaughtering or selling his own property, so he'd be pater midalav dahei. So according to this, Rabbi Loi, if the shinoi happens all by itself, it's still called a bona fide shinoi. Others argue that a shinoi memela isn't considered a good shinoi. This whole inyan of shinoi is a machlekes beis hillel beis shammai by karbanis. Daf samach vav. Rava says if you steal a lamb and then you come to pay it back with a lamb, you pay its value kitami kara when it was stolen. But if you pay back with money, then you pay the value it was worth b'shas hamad abedin. Rava says it's pashut that if a ganav made a shinoi through a maisa, the ganav takes ownership of the chayfetz. If the owner of an object is miyayesh, he gives up hope on his lost object. The Rabbanan told us that this also creates a kinyan for the ganav. The question is if this yish is considered a kinyan midaraisa or a kinyan midarabbanan. Yish helps by geneva because it creates a kinyan, the same way that yish helps by aveda. Taisvis is troubled by this comparison, because in Baba Metzia, it's not so clear if Yish always helps by Aveda. So surely by Geneva, where Isser is involved, Yish should be questioned as to whether it works or not. Rabbi Yosef argues and says Yish does not help at all by Geneva, not even Midrabbanan, since the item came into his Rishus via a forbidden act. Rabbi Yosef, who holds Yish Laikana, asked Rabba, if someone stole Chametz and he kept it through Pesach, so now it became Chametz, Chametz she'overlava Pesach. After Pesach, the gazan can return the chametz to the owner and be putter by saying harei shalach lefanecha, since the food is here, albeit that it's worthless, but the food is still here, so he's giving it back to him. The Gemara asks, why should he be putter? On Erev Pesach, he'll be miyayish, because he knows it's worthless. The owner knows it's worthless. Once Erev Pesach comes, and now it's after Chatzais, the chametz isn't worth anything anymore, and the gazan will then be kainet. So how can he fulfill his chiyav after Pesach by simply saying harei shalach lefanecha? He should have to pay for what he stole. Rabbi answered that Yish only works if the owner was Nisyayish and the Gazlan wants to be Kainit. But here by Chametz, the owner was Miyayish, but the Gazlan doesn't want to be Kainit. Therefore, he's not Kainit, and he can simply say, Harei Shalach Lefanecha. Kuntras al-Hadaf brings the Neidib Yehuda, which is brought in Arachayim Adura Kama Simen Chaf, where the Neidib Yehuda notes that the reason why Chametz, which is kept over Pesach, is usher to use after Pesach, is due to a Takanas Chachamim. The Rabbanan penalized the owner of the chametz for transgressing the prohibition of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzei, which is the prohibition of keeping chametz in one's possession on Pesach. In the case of stolen chametz, however, the chametz was not in the Nigzal's possession on Pesach, as it was stolen, and he therefore does not transgress any Isser. Consequently, based on this observation, he paskins that the owner may partake in the chametz when returned to him after Pesach, since he did not transgress Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzei. And the gazlan can't aser it, since we say ein adam oiser davar she'ein shaloi. Rabbi Akiva Eger disagrees with the Neidib Yehuda and explains that even if the gazlan is not formally kind of the chametz, as the Gemara concludes, nevertheless it is incumbent upon the gazlan to dispose of the chametz before Pesach, since the chametz is under his jurisdiction, i.e. the ganav is chayav b'achrayis at that time. Therefore, the chametz becomes aser b'hana due to the fact that the ganav transgressed the isur of Bal Yirai, even though the owner did not actually transgress the Isser, so it's usher for anybody to eat, not just the gazlan. The Gemara says anything that is considered a keli can be mekabel tuma. If, however, it is an uncompleted cloth or a piece of metal, which is not yet a keli, it cannot be mekabel tuma. So if a private person finished a piece of cloth two-thirds of the way through, and then he had a machshava that he's finished, that's it, he decided two-thirds of the way through he's finished with it, and he doesn't want to do any more work on it, this piece of cloth can now be mekabel tuma, because now, according to his machshav, it's considered a keli. But if he's a seller of cloth, then his machshava would not work at two-thirds of the way through. Since once he sells this cloth that's two-thirds complete, the new owner may decide to complete it. Meanwhile, now it still isn't really a keli, and therefore cannot be mekabel tumah. If now a ganav steals this cloth, we say that machshava mitamasa, since the owner will be miyayish. But if the gazan stole it in broad daylight, the owner is not miyayish, because he thinks he might be able to get it back. Therefore, it is still in the same reshus of the owner, and the gazlan can't use his machshava to give it a chalais shem keli and allow it to be mekabel tumah. Reb Shimon holds just the opposite. A ganav cannot be metama via machshava, since there's no yish, but a gazlan can. From here we learn yish is kaina. This shaila of yish kaina or not, Rabbah asked Reb Yosef for 22 years, and Reb Yosef had no answer until he became the Rosh Bezdin. The reason that the eiris, which the ganav took, can become tame, isn't because of yish, but rather because of shinui hashem. Before, the object was called one thing, now it's called something else, i.e. shinui hashem is considered kishinui maisa. Before it was called animal skins. Now it's called a tablecloth because it's already completed. The Gemara says in Nedarim there's a machlekes by Hefker. The Chachamim say, when a person is mafker something, it leaves his reshus instantly. Rabbi Yaisi holds, it only leaves his reshus at the moment someone else picks it up and is kainet. So the question is, what happens in the in-between period of time? We pass in light the Chachamim, that when a person is mafker something, it leaves his reshus automatically and instantly. The Nesivis and the Ksais HaChayshin hold that by Yish all agree with Rabbi Yaisi, that when someone is miyayish on something, it remains in his reshus until someone else is zeich in it. He brings a raya from our Gemara here regarding chametz she'avar lava pesach. That's how the ganav can say haresh lach lefanecha, since this is because it never really left the original reshus of the bialim, because the ganav never really wanted to be kainet because it's worthless. Daf samach zayin. If a person took a piece of wood, hollowed it out, made it into a pipe, and put it into the ground as the carrier of water to a mikveh, it passels the mikveh, i.e. water that runs through this pipe to get to the mikveh becomes mayim she'uvim. The halacha is that by mikveh, if more than 3 lugin of the 40 lugin needed for the mikveh pass through a keli, then all the water in the mikveh becomes pasel. It is now rainwater which becomes mayim she'uvim. If, however, a piece of wood was put in the ground, then it was hollowed into a pipe, then it doesn't passel the mikveh. This is not considered a keli, but rather it's part of the ground, because first it was put into the ground, then it was hollowed into a keli, so it's really like all part of the ground. The Gemara says, Meiser, Truma, and Hektish can only be chal on grains if the owner of these grains declares Hektish, Truma, or Meiser. But if a ganav does this, it isn't chal, until they come to own these particular objects themselves. The ganav just can't make something into Meiser unless he owns it. How do we know that Shinui allows a ganav to be kaina a stolen object? We learn this in the Pasuk in Vayikra, Parakei, the Heshev es Agzela Asher Gazal. Only if it is similar to what was when it was stolen is there a chiyuv to return. Otherwise, he owns it, and the ganav must pay cash. Ula paskins that Yish is not kaina at all. He learns this from the Pasuk by Karbanis. Rabbi Natan learns that Ula means Yish like kana only by a carbon, since it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera, like a lulav ha'gazal. But by other cases, Yish is kaina. The Re argues, and says mitzvah haba ba'avera doesn't apply to stolen objects like a carbon, since if yish would be kaina, and the ganav owned it before he was makdish it, it's like being makdish an item which belongs to him, not an item which was ba'avera. The chiyuv of dalad v'hei, the Gemara says, only applies to shor v'se, but not to stealing or v'tzvicha of any other animals. Rav says, if Reuven steals, and then Shimon steals from him, Shimon does not pay kefil. But this is only before Yish. Masha'enkin, if there was Yish, the owner becomes Reuven. So Shimon must pay kefil to Reuven. Rav Sheisha says, there's no nafgamina if there was Yish or not. Daf Samachas. If Reuven stole and sold it before the Balabayas was Miyayish, Rav Nachman says, there is a chiyuv of Dalad Vehei since it was sold. Yish doesn't play a role. Rav Sheisha says, there's no chiyuv of Dalad Vehei unless there was already Yish. But before Yish, he's potter. If a sale is only for less than 30 days, it's like a rental, and there wouldn't be a chiyuv of dalad vehei if someone stole. As the pasuk says, Re'ehu, if one stole from Hektish, he's potter from paying dalad vehei. Tsnuin were the tzaddikim who used to be machmer with Karen Revai that they owned. They were very careful with Karen Revai. These people were called tsnuin. Daf samachtas. Rabbi Yechanan said if someone stole something and the original bialim was not miyayish, neither can make the item Hektish. The Gazlan can't, since it's not his, and the owner can't, since it's Einar Bishusai. Or it says, whenever Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says a halacha in a Mishnah, the halacha is like him, except for three places in Shas. Reb Yehuda says, in order for a person to protect himself, he should get up every day and say, if the Aniyim pick up something from my field, which isn't for them, I'm mafkir. In other words, if they take something which they're really not entitled to, I'm mafkir anyway. Reb Daisa says, he should say this in the evening. When they picked something up already, then I'm mafkir. If they picked up something which didn't really belong to them. This shita about mourning must hold yesh brera, because in the morning, you don't know which things they're going to be picking up. You only know later on in the day. It'll only be clarified later. If you hold ein brera, you wouldn't be able to say this. This whole question of yesh brera or ein brera is actually a machlekes tanoim, by the case of halikeach yayin b'ben hakusim. If someone buys wine erev Shabbos, just before it gets dark, and it's coming up to Shabbos, we have to assume that no truma or meiser was taken off, because the kusim normally don't take off truma and meiser. But now it's close to Shabbos, he doesn't have time to take off truma and meiser, and he wants to use some of the wine on Shabbos. What does he do? So he can say, I will designate two lugin, which I will designate after Shabbos. On Shabbos, I'm going to drink. After Shabbos, I'll take out two lugin from the wine, and those two lugin will be the wine that were originally supposed to be taken off before Shabbos. So that should be chal right now. Rameir says, we hold yesh brera. Therefore, a person can do this, because we say, huvra davar lamafreya, that the two lugin that he took off after Shabbos were what he intended to take off before Shabbos, and therefore, yesh brera, and he can drink it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon hold ein brera. You can't decide after Shabbos what you would have taken off, because who knew on Shabbos what you would have taken? It could be you were drinking a little bit of wine that was now truma or meiser. Therefore, they hold ein brera, and you wouldn't be able to do that. From the pasuk of ish ki yaktish espesei, by Yikra Chav Zayin, we learn that just like if a person is maktish his house, it is an object which belongs to him, so too, when he's maktish anything, it must actually belong to him. Ma beser b'shusei af kol b'shusei. Dafayin. The Talmidim of Nehardo said, one can not write a harsha, a power of attorney, to someone to collect movable property. For example, if Reuven had a tape recorder by a shomer, he cannot write a shtar harsha for his friend to take this metaltalin, this tape recorder, from the shomer. This is because of the din of Rabbi Yochanan, that just like one can't be makdish, a davar she'ena b'shusai, so too, one cannot give rishus to his friend to pick up metaltalin, which is ena b'shusai. Taisa says that Naharda is only referring to arguments involving stolen metaltalin. However, Naharda has no objection to writing a harsha, empowering a shliach to extract metaltalin from a shomer. Taisa points out that unlike things which are stolen, which are considered ena b'shusai, and cannot be declared hektish, one has the power to declare hektish on something that is situated in the possession of his shomer. And therefore, says Taisus, there's no reason why he should not be able to likewise write a harsha conveying those items to his shliach. Nahardai's objection was only with regard to things that were stolen. Inasmuch as they're considered ena b'shusai, and one lacks the power to declare them hektish, he also lacks the power to gift them to somebody else. The Ketzais HaChayshin says that Rashi indicates that Nahardai is not only referring to stolen goods, but it's referring to a pikadon as well. The Gemara says if a shtar is written for the collection of money from Bezdin, if the nusach is wrong, the other party can say to the shliach, at lav bal dvarim didi at. The Mishnah. If Reuben stole something and then shechted it, if Edom saw it, he must pay dalad vehe. If he stole and sold on Shabbos, or to Avodah Zarah, or on Yom Kippur, he still has a chiyav of dalad vehe. Since we don't say kom levi derabamine, since there's no chiyav misa bidei adam, only karas, which is bidei shamayim. We know that if a person is mechuyav two things, we only give him the bigger punishment, but the smaller one is not chayav. Since if a person does something like this on Shabbos, therefore he's mechuyav on karas, that's only bidei shamayim, we don't say kim levi derabamine, and therefore he's still chayav on the dalad vehe. If, however, he stole and sold property of his father, and then he died, he still must pay dalad vehe. If he shechted it and it was a treifa, or if he shechts chulin ba'azara, which is aser bahana, he also must pay dalad vehe. Reb Shimon says he's potter from dalad vehe in these two cases, since they're both considered to be a shchita she'ena re'uya, because he cannot eat them anyway. Gemara. Even if the shchita was seen by one set of the Edom and mechira by another, there's still a chi of dalad vehe. This isn't like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Edom must testify on a complete maisa. Al pishnayim edim yakum davar. They have to see the entire thing, not chatzi davar. In other words, if half, one pair of edim see half of it, the other pair see a different half, that's not considered a davar. Therefore, he holds that it would not be a good testimony in that situation. A woman needs to bring shtei saras to be considered a gedolah. If two edim saw one hair and two edim saw the second hair, it's no good, since we need two edim seeing a full davar. Davar v'lei chatzi davar, as we said before. If the sale of the item was on Shabbos, the chi of dalad v'hei remains, since there's no misa. But if the ganav cut off figs, or he threw a chayfetz, and there was a hanacha in a rishus harabim, then there would be a chi of misa. The final alf. We know that if one shechs the stolen item on Yom Kippur, he's still chayav dalad v'hei, since there's no misa bidei shamayim. Aye, but since he's over a lav, he's chayav malchus, and we paskin that a person can't be both leike umishalim. Our answer is the Mishnah is like Remeir, who holds leike umishalim. If a man steals something, and then he sends a shliach to do the shchita on Shabbos, he still pays dalad v'hei. The reason for this is because the rule of kimlei b'derav mineh is only applicable where both punishments are incurred by the same person, but it does not preclude a single action from simultaneously subjecting different people to two different penalties. The Gemara asks, ein shliach l'dvar avera, how can a person be chayev? A person cannot send a shliach to do an avera. The Gemara answers, we have a special gzeras hakasav that here we say, yesh shliach l'dvar avera. His from the pasuk, says v'tav chayu machray, just like a purchase requires a second person, i.e. a seller. You need two people. You need a buyer and a seller to make a purchase happen. The tficha, via a second person, would constitute a bona fide tficha. Therefore, we would say, yei shliach l'dvar avera. As is brought in Kuntres al-Hadaf, the Mishnah Lamelach in Hilchos Geneva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav, based on an implication of the Rambam, qualifies this halacha with a novel insertion. He infers from the Rambam that the thief is held responsible for his shliach's slaughtering, even when it's done on Shabbos, only if he did not specifically instruct his shliach to slaughter the ox on Shabbos. Rather, he gave him non-specific directions, allowing him to slaughter at any time he wishes. The Mishnah Melech explains that if the thief explicitly instructed the shliach to slaughter the ox on Shabbos, the thief is not subject to the chiv of dalad v'hei, because with regard to the violation of Shabbos, we apply the general rule of ein shliach l'dvar avera. He argues that since one does not have the power to appoint the shliach to violate Shabbos, the entire shlichus, designation of the shliach, is void, and the shliach action, in this case, are not attributed to the mishaleach. Thus, the Mishnah Melech holds that only when the thief did not specifically instruct the shliach to violate Shabbos is the appointment valid, and the shliach's act of slaughtering is attributed to the thief, subjecting him to dalad v'hei. If someone cooks on Shabbos, if it was done b'shaygig, Remeir says, he can eat it. If it was done b'mezid, no one can eat it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it was done b'shaygig, it can be eaten mitzoy Shabbos. But if it was done b'mezid, he can't eat it forever, but others can. Rabbi Yechanan Sandler says, if it was done b'shaygig, others can eat it, but only on mitzoy Shabbos. B'mezid, no one can ever eat it. As the Pasuk says, u'shmartem es ha-Shabbos, ki kaidish hi lachem. The Pasuk in Shmais, Lamed Aleph. Just like hektish is usher to eat, so too, if it was cooked on Shabbos, it's usher to eat forever. If someone creates something on Shabbos via a melacha, it's a machlekes between Rav Acha and Ravina if this is Maisa Shabbos is considered usher midaraisa or usher midrabanan. If a cow owner gave his shor to a shomer and it damaged three times while it was by the shomer, and the psak for skila while at the shomer, so it's usher bahana. If the shomer returns it now, he's pater in dalad vehe, since it's a davar hagaran lamaman, and we say davar hagaran lamaman is kamaman dummy. Dafayin base. In the case of chulin shenishchetu ba'azara, even though you can't eat it, there is still a chiyav dalad v'hei. This must mean that eina l'shchita el l'besayf, the din shchita is only chal at the end of the cutting, when rive of both simanim are cut through, rive of the kana, the windpipe, and rove of the vesha, the food pipe. Because if you said yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atzai, then as soon as you shechted it, just a little bit, it becomes aser bahana. The rest won't belong to the owner, so there wouldn't be a chiyav dalad v'hei. Also, Rabbi Yechanan must hold that chulin shenishchetu ba'azara lav daraisa. Our answer is not necessarily, since as soon as you shecht just a little bit, you're chayav for dalad v'hei. The Mishnah. If a person sold and slaughtered, and there were two edim that saw everything, but then we found out that these two edim were edim zaymimim, meaning to say that two other edim came along and said that these two edim, which testify that they saw this person, tavchayu machray, they couldn't have possibly seen it because they were with us on the day that they said they saw this thing happen. Then they must pay kasher zamam lasais la'achiv. They have to pay what they wanted to do to the person with this testimony, i.e. they have to pay dalad v'hei. But if we had two different pairs of edim, one side the Geneva and one side the Shechita, and they were found both to be Zaymimin. The first pay Kefil, and the second pair pay the remaining of the hay, which is now Gimel. If only the second are Zaymimin, the Ganef pays Kefil, since the Edom saw the Geneva, and the second pair pays Gimel. If one of the Edom of the second pair are Zaymimin, the entire Edus is Batal, since Edus Shabatla Miktsasa Batla Kula. If one of the first pair is Zaymimin, all the Edus of all pairs becomes Batal, since in Ein Geneva, Ein Tvicha V'Ein Mechira. Nothing happened, because once you don't have a Geneva, then the Tvicha and the Mechira are meaningless anyway, because it's as if there was no Geneva and a person just shechted or sold something. And the Gemara says, if a person said Edus, and later on we found out that he was an Eid Zaymim, Abaya says, Lemafreya hu nifsal. Once he said the lie, he immediately becomes Pasul, and any other Edus he said from that point on is also Pasul. That means all the testimonies he said all the way from the beginning become Pasul, since he's a Rasha, and the Pasuk in Shmai Schafbei says, Al Tashes Rasha Eid. Rava argues, and says, we don't say Lemafreya hu nifsal, but rather we say Mikan ulahaba hu nifsal. This psul applies only from the time he was found to be Zaymim, i.e. later. Any Edus said between this Edus of Zaymim and the time we found him to be Zaymim would be Kasher, i.e. Rava is Makel compared to Abaya. This is, so since the entire Parsha of Eid Zaymim is a Chiddush from the Torah, since we really have a case of Trey U'Trey, two witnesses versus two witnesses. Why believe the second pair, believe the first pair? Kamash Milan, we do believe the second pair. Therefore, you can only take this chiddush and make it effective from the moment of the Edus Hazama, not Lemafreya. Ein lecha bay ela mishas chidushai v'elech. So you can't be machmer and say, we're going to take it all the way back from the time that the Edus is said, and anything else that happens between now and the time we found them to be Zaymim, that should be possible. You can't go that far. You can only say, now we found them to be Edim Zaymimin, from this point on they become possible. Or, you could say a different svar. The svar of Rava maybe, as to protect all the transactions that happened until this Hazama. I.e. would mess up a lot of testimonies. Imagine that on January 15th, for example, he said the testimony, and we didn't find out that they were Edom Zaymim until May 15th. Therefore, all the months in the middle, everything that they may have said is possible, and it would mess up a lot of other testimonies that were said in Beis Din, and it would make lives difficult for a lot of people. The nafka mina between these two svars is if there would be a case which wasn't Trey U'Trey, but rather just two versus one. We paskin, here like Abaya, that Eid Zaymim, we pasel lemafreya. Normally, all over Shas, we paskin like Rava, except in the six cases, which are abbreviated with the simen Ya'al Kegam. That even though all over Shas, when there's a machlekes between Rava and Abaya, we paskin like Rava, in these six cases, we paskin like Abaya. What are the six cases? The Yud stands for Yish Shalei Midas. The Ayin stands for Eid Zaymim Lemafreya, which is the case here. The Lamed stands for Lechi Ha'imid Me'elav, which is a case in Erevin. The Kuf stands for Kiddushin She'ein Mesurin Labiyah. The Gimel is Gilui Das Begitin. And finally, the Mem is Mumur L'Tayavan. This marks the end of this sugya. The next tape of Mirtashem will begin from Daf Ayin Gimel Lamed Aleph, but at this point we will conclude our shir.